Good afternoon. It's time for the December edition of Our Town. This is a special 3-hour edition. We'll be speaking with the Oregon Coast Humane Society board members, three of them anyway, coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. So stay tuned, stay connected. On last month's edition of Our Town, we got to talk to Rick Yesney on his way out the door, sort of. He's retiring, moving on to other things. And that meant it was time to bring in somebody new. And they chose Jason Hawkins for that. And Jason is with us today. He is the CAO of the Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center here in Florence. And CAO, a little bit different than CEO, it just means Chief Administrative Officer. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And you?
Good, good. Now, I met you before, but we really haven't had a chance to talk. And I kind of like it that way because this gives me a fresh slate and just kind of roll and see how things are going. Tell me a little bit about your background. Now, where did you just recently come from?
Sure. I was in central Pennsylvania with my wife and our two cats and a dog. And we were working at a critical access hospital, very similar to Peace Harbor, 21-bed critical access hospital with a 67-bed nursing home, home health agency as well. And I was also working at the hospital up the road. It was about an hour up the road, helping them with some things as well. So I was over top of two rural facilities in Pennsylvania.
Now, is Pennsylvania where you originated from, where you were born?
Yes. Yeah, I grew up in Huntington, Pennsylvania, in a rural part of Pennsylvania called the Rural T. Pennsyltucky, some people refer to it as.
So a little smaller community there.
Yes, actually a little smaller than Florence, actually.
Wow,
yeah.
That is. So what got you interested in the hospital end of a career?
Well, that's good. I went to school at IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and with a bachelor's in accounting. And I got into healthcare. I started in the Geisinger system, and it was a 600-bed large tertiary care system. And started out in their reimbursement areas and then got into strategic planning. And from there, I got my master's at Bloomsburg University and really just enjoy healthcare. If I was going to have an accounting degree, it seemed to make sense to me, how do I contribute what I know back to my community? And I think healthcare is a great way of doing that and improving the health and well-being. And if I can find ways for an organization to be sustainable in the services they provide based upon my accounting background, that seemed to be a good fit for me.
Well, I'm not going to draw any conclusions here, but it seems to me I remember Rick talking about his accounting background as well.
Yeah, there's some similarities in our backgrounds. It's kind of uncanny to some degree.
So what makes that a good choice for a CAO of a hospital?
Well, it's, one, a very highly regulated industry, a great deal of regulatory changes. Some would argue the most regulated industry in the country. Tens of thousands of changes, of pages every year of changes that come out. So it's important to kind of understand your book of business a little bit. And if you have a temperament to listen to people and to work with people and understand your community, kind of can blend the two, understanding the regulatory piece, the reimbursement piece, listening to the community, listening to what their needs are, and you can kind of shape out what services can be offered in a way that makes sense.
What are some of the main reasons for so many regulatory changes? Is it based on legislature that goes through the Congress, or is it based on new studies? Is it based on new ideas of healthcare? A little bit of both, everything?
Yeah, it's a little of all of the above. Yeah, you have government payers represent 60%+ of what we have, and the government wants to make sure their beneficiaries' care is being attended to correctly. They want to make sure there's good quality standards. They also are trying to balance a budget. So they put a lot of regulatory burdens around things to make sure that our taxpayer dollars are being protected.
So now you and your wife came from Pennsylvania. I know she mentioned animals, but do you have any grown children?
We do. Our youngest is a sophomore at the University of Oregon. Our next daughter is, our son, I should say, is at the University of Oregon. And our daughter is married in Oklahoma City. And our oldest daughter is in Boulder, Colorado.
Wow. Cool. So you got three, mm-hmm. and you're an empty nester.
We are.
How was that for? Was it harder for you or your wife when the door closed and the last one went out?
I think it was, hard for both of us. To be honest, it was our son was the last one, so he and I have a special relationship. And but it was our last one, and he has a special relationship with my wife Deanne as well.
Yeah, so. I think my son was the last one to go. He was a little easier actually than my daughter. My daughter was a lot harder than that. So why Oregon? Why Florence?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Obviously, you have a sophomore at Oregon,
yeah.
Which I also noticed one of your new OBGYNs also has, folks here, so that's one of the reasons she came. So,
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to stay. We were at the other place for about 24 years. So we raised our family there. And we started thinking about what our next steps were going to be. And we kind of developed a bit of a matrix or an algorithm. And then when we developed it, we said, oh, we'll never find that place. And because we wanted somewhere near a coast. We wanted somewhere that doesn't snow. We wanted somewhere logistically near our kids. And most of all, we wanted to be in a smaller town, smaller community, critical access hospital. And started looking around, looking at the common denominators for that. And this one surfaced, and started looking at Florence and started looking at different things and started realizing that it was connected to Eugene and connected because I'd seen the university district when we went to visit our son. We lived in the dorms right next to it. So we recognized the logo and recognized that, and we started looking at things and seemed like it was a good fit on paper and on the internet, so to speak. And couldn't wait to come out for the interview and really fell in love with the community really first day we saw it.
So was your first interview the first time you came to Florence?
Yeah, yes, it was. Yeah.
And I guess you stopped in Eugene probably first.
We did. We flew into Eugene and then drove down here immediately. And we were really wanted to get a sense of what the community was like and sense that the hospital would be a reflection of the community. And really went into Old Town and had a salad and a sandwich. And, a sea lion came up and said hello to us. And Rick says that was him in an outfit, but, lure me in. But absolutely fell in love with the place and just really, really felt like it was a good fit for us.
I hear that a lot. I mean, I know the first time I came through, sort of did the same thing, had a son at U of O, drove from Portland. Came down 126 into the town.
Beautiful
drive. Like, yeah. It was like, I knew when I drove into town that this is where I was going to live. Yeah. I knew. I came by here. I talked to John out by his truck, and he said, man, you had me at in the parking lot.
Yeah.
So I was like, so easy.
Yeah. Well, we like to get outside. You know, we've already been taking in some of the sites, been down to Hobbit Beach and the lighthouse, and went up to Sweet Creek Falls over the weekend, and
that's nice.
So yeah, and I like fishing and hunting and stuff, so it fits into our DNA to be outside too. So it was a really, really great fit.
When you decided to take the job and you came here and you started getting settled in, I guess you're sort of not fully in charge yet. Is that correct? What I'm correct in?
Yeah, we're in the transition
stage. So
yeah.
you're learning a lot of the things that are going on. Mm-hmm. What fascinates you most about the hospital here?
I think one of the things that I really have taken away in the first 2.5 weeks is the enthusiasm of the employees. They want to embrace a lot of the change that's coming. They want to be better. They want to take care of their community. They want to take care of their friends and families and neighbors. And they understand that they have a local responsibility, but then there's also a national kind of change happening and the way we're measured and the way we go about doing our business. And they really are enthusiastic about trying to be the best they can. And the doctors are that way. The nurses are that way. All the technologists, technicians that I've run into so far have been outstanding people. But I think you all know that, mm-hmm. but it's really been impressive for us to see.
Well, this is one of those communities where you're not here because you have to be here. Mm-hmm. You're here because you want to be here. So I think that makes a difference with people. You see it every day in the faces when you talk to people.
Yeah.
They smile. They say hello. They talk to you. So I guess you're probably feeling a lot of that at the hospital.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And when you bring in physicians or other nurses and it sells itself, you know, to a lot of people when they come in. They just know it feels right.
What do you think some of your biggest challenges are going to be? I know there's a lot of changes that come just in the hospital realm itself, so you're probably going to have to adapt and adjust to things that are coming down the pike. What do you see as the biggest challenge?
The challenges are generally the same, whether you're in a large place or in a small place, but I think how you go about solving them are different. There's always, you know, challenges with physician recruiting. There's challenges with declining reimbursements, increasing regulations. But I think when you're trying to work in a smaller community, like Fulton County, where I came from, or now in Florence, it's about relationships, and it's about making sure that you're recruiting people that want to be kind of community-based, relationship-based. And I think those are the things you have to work towards and work from, I suppose. Then the challenges around that, again, I think are going to be the pressures at the federal level to slow the cost of healthcare. The Affordable Care Act did do that by all counts on a macro level. I think some of that is, you know, the consumers are feeling some of that now. And again, it's the declining reimbursements, the physician recruitment, provider recruitment, caregiver recruitment, You're only as good as your people.
You said you came from a similar type hospital. Is there a, obviously there's a set of services that this kind of hospital provides, and then otherwise they have to go to Eugene or Springfield mm-hmm. or all that. Do you see the services area growing any, or just maybe working harder to do what we do best?
Yeah, that's a good question. In my mind, I've have a list of things that I'm kind of wondering if those are things we should explore, or have they have already been looked at and determined they weren't sustainable. The worst thing you could do is start a program and then not be sustainable and have to close it down. Right. I think that's very detrimental in a smaller community. So you always have to be very measured about those kind of new starts. But I think overall, what's important in communities and the direction of healthcare is to be focusing on population health, focusing on prevention, wellness. Our communities are counting on us to catch things. There's technology out there now. Our providers are very bright to make sure that people have access to care, getting in to see our providers, getting the testing, whether it's mammography testing, lung cancer screening, prostate screening, catching all those things. Now we have such good techniques that if we catch them soon, we can prevent that. We grew up in a time when someone was diagnosed with cancer, it was not a very good thing.
It was a death sentence almost.
Kids now are saying, okay, when are you going to be cured? They don't see it in the same way because we're catching it so much quicker. So I think our focus is swimming upstream and swimming into all and getting out of our hospital and getting into our community and taking care of our community, reaching out to our kids, our seniors, and all the folks that are working into those employers and making sure they're getting all those prevention services that they could get.
And I guess there's a sense, too, of because of the size of the community, there are certain things that fit this community well that just aren't feasible, financially or service-wise, that would require a bigger hospital. Like, you wouldn't necessarily think of a hyperbaric oxygen chamber here, mm-hmm. For wound care or stuff like that, because it's something that is not really that widely needed, right?
Yeah, there are, like I said, there are just some things because of the reimbursement rules that are make it very difficult, because many of the rules that have been in place for decades are designed to be around areas that have high population density. You get into smaller communities that have low population density or rural communities, you just don't have the numbers, to speak plainly, to be sustainable for those kind of things. They are changing things in a way to be focusing more on prevention. It seems to be where we're being steered and being encouraged to go mm-hmm. towards. But yeah. But I think we're very blessed. One of the things that we were intrigued by was the commitment by the community to do certain things like the Points of Grace and the palliative care program, the mobile integrated program that just started. The DMT will be out in the home. We're doing a lot of things here as that between the community support and Peace Harbor and Peace Health as a network and system is getting behind and doing some things that other communities are just starting to talk about that are actually happening here. It's great that there's an orthopedic program here full time. It's great that there's an obstetric program here full time. And that takes a lot of work to make that happen, because it's I came from an environment where, certainly in Pennsylvania, if you weren't delivering 600 babies or more, you didn't have an OB program. And Peace Health, I think, has made a commitment to make that happen here. And I think they deserve a lot of credit. And the community's made that commitment, too.
Have you had a chance yet to look at all the services and say, wow, this is a really great service, but it's really underutilized? How can we get the word out about this program? Have you seen any programs like that maybe?
I think it's a little early on to say. I think there's ones I want to look at a little bit more, talking with Rick a little bit, and he's like, there's some things there we could probably dust off a little bit. Our swing bed program, which is a post-acute care program where people can get procedures done somewhere else and come back here and get rehab, mm-hmm. inpatient rehab, is one that has been a focus this new year. And I think the team is really trying to create some awareness about that, for that program, where they can come back and get physical therapy and occupational therapy after surgeries, those kind of things. I think those are ones we want to look at a little bit.
Cool. Now, we've been talking business here. Let's go back to more personal stuff. You and your wife been out in town, mm-hmm. been out to eat much?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So favorite places to go? Give a plug. We don't care if they advertise with us or not. It doesn't matter.
Well, we like them all, to be quite honest. Yeah. Homegrown is one we seem to like. That one, we're kind of a smaller place, so we enjoy that. But we've been to the Waterfront Depot. We've been to Bridgewater. We've been to the BJ's. Like my wife loves ice cream, so we've been there a few times. Been over to Darling's too, driving around looking for some houses. So we stopped in there, and that was a nice place to go over there too.
So is that something you're still doing, or you're still doing a house search, or have you found something?
Yeah, we were renting in Old Town right now, so a lot of those places we can kind of walk to in the evening.
Are you like upstairs or something? One of those buildings?
No, we got a nice little place to rent there. We were able to spread out a little bit.
We don't want to tell everybody where you are. No, don't come knocking on the door. No, we don't want that.
No, that's all right. But so we are looking around. Everyone's explaining the microclimates and the coast versus the lakes versus inland. And,
right. You can change 5 to 10 degrees just by going a couple miles up the road. So it just depends on what you like. And the wind.
Mm-hmm. Well, the lake's intriguing for us because I grew up on a very large lake in Pennsylvania. And so to kind of go back to my roots, having a boat and being able to do all the things you like to use to on a lake. So,
well, Silpacoose isn't bad if you like to do some salmon fishing too.
Yeah, I hear that.
Get caught up in there. So, well, that's great. I tell you what, we are happy to have you here in our community, and we're pleased that you're here. Anything that you can think of that you really want people to know about you that we haven't touched yet?
I think the only thing I'd want to share is that everyone's just been fantastic. I hope to carry on the good work that Rick and the team has been doing up there. It's an honor to come in behind him, and he's been absolutely outstanding the first couple weeks, and I'm sure he'll continue that way. And I ask that people just be patient as we get acclimated, but I can't wait to contribute and carry on the good work that everyone else has been doing.
Well, and also you've had some recent remodeling at the hospital, so you got some new facility appropriations there.
Yeah, the ER is fantastic. Just an outstanding project. The folks that helped design that and put that together. We have some new start, with some radiology upgrades coming in the near future, general diagnostic unit, MRI unit. We have some other asks that are coming down the road too as well from a capital appropriations perspective. We have a orthopedic surgeon coming in January. We're actively recruiting for a third general surgeon. Podiatry has been a search we've been looking for. We have a handful, literally 6 or 7 podiatrists showing interest to come here and work. Continue to recruit other primary care providers. And right now, if you call and ask for a visit, we can generally get you in about 7 days unless it's urgent. So that's been a big change from what I understand the past year. So I think Peace Health and the gang here at Peace Harbor has been doing a fantastic job getting the primary care market back up on its feet.
Now, the orthopedic surgeon, now, you don't currently do, like, hip and knee replacement here.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we're doing somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 12 a month now. We're doing total joints, total knees and total hips. Been some fantastic outcomes with our orthopedic surgeons. So very blessed to have the talent we have here in the community.
Yeah, and I understand that field has changed a lot, too. They're doing new procedures for shoulders and things like that are less invasive and stuff.
So. Yeah, the length of stay is not what it used to be, and oftentimes, they're depending on the situation, some people are actually going home same day, depending on the type of hip replacement that it is in the industry right now. So it's really been some incredible advancements in healthcare.
So how much medical knowledge did you have to gain over time, because obviously you are heavily finance oriented because you do have to know that aspect of it. But how much of the medical have you picked up over time?
Well, I think a lot. To say that the am I all knowing? Absolutely not. But if you listen to people that like physicians and nurses and others, they have the answers, and they might need to explain it to me a second time. But usually, I get it the second, maybe a third time, and understand what they're wanting to do. But I was fortunate to really be. At 27 years old, to start out as the chief financial officer at a smaller place and then become chief operating officer and work with a lot of really smart people at Fulton County and a lot of smart doctors. And they took time to share and teach the way things are and what's important. Always keep the patient first and foremost, and the other things will follow. I've learned a lot in it's been now 30 years, I guess. Yeah. So. It's been a lot of fun, and I've always been rural. It's always been even Geisinger was a rural facility, even though it was 600 beds, it was considered rural, and then Fulton County was as well.
Well, congratulations for picking probably the best spot you could have chosen.
Oh yeah, I agree. Thank you.
All right, we're talking with Jason Hawkins. He is the new CAO of Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center here in Florence, and it's been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit.
Likewise.
And we look forward to having you here as often as you want to be.
All right, I appreciate the opportunity.
Coming up next on the December issue of Our Town, we'll be speaking with Mayor of Florence, Joe Henry.